Greetings, friends. Welcome to I Think Speech. I am Hazel Archer Ginsburg. I feel so blessed. You know, we're so lucky here in Chicago. Besides our Sunday communion at the Christian Community Church, we also have services on Tuesdays and Thursday mornings. Not many folks come out on the weekdays unless it happens to fall on a feast day. So essentially, it's an offering for the beloved dead and for the beings of the spiritual world. And these are really just so sublime, these intimate times. It's my favorite. And I often serve at the altar on these days. And yesterday, the gospel reading was from Ephesians 6. It's the last part of the last chapter of the Epistle to the Ephesians, authored by Saul, who, after his Damascus experience, became Paul the Apostle. Now, I work very closely with the Synoptic Gospels, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the Apocalypse, that part of the New Testament, I'm very familiar with, and love those stories and the parables, and have worked with Steiner's lectures around the inner meaning behind it. But I admit I have not spent much time with the Rock, with Peter, or with Paul, who tend to prick my feminist sensibilities. I get turned off by that, women should obey their husbands kind of thing, But I have to say that this letter, it's very Michaelic. It's attributed to Paul, but it just set me on fire. It speaks directly to what we're facing now, especially in light of the upcoming solar eclipse this Saturday, the 14th of October, and the first new moon after the autumnal equinox. So I got home, I picked up my Bible, and I started reading Ephesians, where we're told in the first verse that it was written by, quote, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Okay. Right. So this book is an epistle, which means it's a letter. And Paul wrote this particular letter addressed to the church in Ephesus while he was being held captive as a prisoner in a Roman jail. So that really made me think, I have a real connection to Ephesus. Our family went there to the house of Mary, and it's just an amazingly powerful place. And there's still an aura there. It was once part of Greece, right? Today, it's near the western shores of modern-day Turkey, where the Aegean Sea meets the coast of Ionia. It's just gorgeous, just amazing there. And Ephesus was famous in its day for the ancient mystery school there, right? And the temple dedicated to Artemis, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, which was burnt to the ground by an arsonist on the 21st of July in 356 BC, which was the day that Alexander the Great was born. This year, I happened to be at the medical section conference on this day, the 21st of July, and we acknowledged this connection with Alexander the Great. And Steiner speaks about the connection of Ephesus and the Temple of Artemis with the burning of the first Gertianum. Now, he talks about this particularly in these lectures called World History in the Light of Anthroposophy. I've talked about these many, many times. They are amazing. He gave these lectures in the evenings during the Christmas conference. This was the inspiration when I did the Holy Knights Epic of Gilgamesh journey that we took And so I took a lot of the indications from those lectures. So yeah, you know, they offer many karmic relationship clues, right? Because right around that time, he was also starting to write, Steiner was writing the karmic relationships lectures, but they're giving these occult clues into the evolution of humanity as outpictured through people's individual karma and how a person's individual karma can affect world karma. It's very, very insightful. And, you know, if you haven't looked at them, World History in the Light of Anthroposophy, I would recommend it, especially now with that we're 3 months away from the 100-year anniversary of this amazing refounding, right, that happened at the Christmas conference when Rudolf Steiner did his amazing deed where he connected us to his karma and opened the new mysteries of Anthroposophia to the world. So, but what's also interesting is that Ephesus, there's an island there called Patmos. And we know that that is where Saint John the Divine, the one that Steiner in the fifth gospel calls Lazarus John, this disciple whom Jesus loved, this is where he went to write the gospel of John and the book of Revelation. He did this through the inspiration of Mother Mary, who lived with him there and continued to inspire him after her assumption. So yeah, this Lazarus John, who was the disciple whom Jesus loved, he lived there for many, many years. He lived to be quite old, where a lot of the other apostles were martyred pretty early. He was able to stay there and write these very inspired teachings. And yeah, we know from his John 19, where he talks about how when they're at the foot of the cross, he's commanded by the Christ to recognize his mother, to take her into his heart, to take her into his home. And so they escape persecution. They go to Ephesus, where again, the mysteries of the ancient times were, you know, vibrating in the ethers. And so he says, yeah, take, woman, behold your son. And then he says to the disciple, behold your mother. And so at this point, they work together to bring the Gospel of John and the book of the Apocalypse. So this place, Ephesus, has a lot of juice, a lot of energy. So I'm thinking about this when I'm listening to this book of Ephesus that the Apostle Paul wrote, and so he's there, he's in prison. He had spent 3 years in Ephesus, and you know it got him in trouble because he was preaching. You know, he was speaking quite boldly. He was leading daily discussions and doing all kinds of miracles, etc. And you could read about that in the book of Acts. So I just thought to share, I just want to read this last part of the Ephesians, the book of Ephesians 6, called The Armor of God. So starting at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that wherever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Well, yeah, I get shivers. Let's do it. Let's put this Michaelic, imagination to work in ourselves and in the world.